You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Parents, the longer that you wait and you don't hold your child's schools accountable gives these guys more time to dictate what's best for your child's physical, mental, and emotional health. Don't be afraid to speak out for your kids because they are voiceless and they rely on you. You should be afraid of them rooting for socialism by the time they get to middle school. Teachers, it may seem that our careers have come to a dead end, but I'm here to remind you, we don't work for the school board. We work to mold the next generation of well-rounded American patriots. So don't give up because it is up to us. Students, you are on the front lines of these indoctrination camps. Challenge the staff when you are presented with a ludicrous statement, and do not allow anybody to tell you that you cannot accomplish anything because of your skin color or to hate yourself because of your skin color. Students, it is up to you to be the next generation of victims or victors.
You want to be a victim or a victor? That is Lilliet Vetsian, a teacher. She was addressing the Loudoun County School Board with a warning to parents, teachers, and students. This is June 10, 2021. She was talking about the issue of critical race theory, which they're trying to put into so many schools. Leftist, progressives, they want that to happen. And they are doing it rapidly. Why? Well, because the quicker they can get it in place, the quicker they can begin to indoctrinate students. They're no longer interested in teaching. They're trying to indoctrinate. And it is back to not teaching them how to think, but teaching them what to think. Critical race theory. There was a mother who also testified before the Loudoun School Board. She was born in China. She said at age six, that's when Mao started taking over, starting with his regime and cultural revolution. When she was 26, she escaped China so she could explain firsthand what happened in China. And she says, this is a repeat of what I saw with Mao. This critical race theory, she said, this parallels exactly what we're being dealt with or how we were being taught, indoctrinated, by the Chinese communists under the rule and regime of Mao. The warnings are there. Is anyone listening? Are they really going to care? Are they just going to say, it's not a big deal? We're just going to teach a little bit of this and a little bit of that. You can tell it's a big deal because if you speak out against it, they come against you. Teachers are worried about losing their jobs if they speak out. Parents are worried, well, if I speak out, my child might be punished in some way. Students are worried that if I speak out, my grade might be lower than what it should be. Yes, that's exactly like the Chinese communists did. The only difference is they were putting folks into education camps, if they didn't kill them. Education camps. We're not there. Not yet. Retired Army Lieutenant General Flynn, Michael Flynn, who served briefly as Trump's national security advisor, of course, had been convicted of lying to the FBI on a weak but suspicious case from the beginning. He did get a pardon from Trump. He says, now, no one should feel sorry for me. Don't feel sorry for me. You need to feel sorry for what happened. And he has some great insight into the swamp. Oh, by the way, Senator Sanders is saying, the GOP party is too extreme. Is that rich or what? Sanders is telling us conservatives the GOP party is too radical? We'll get into that. Of course, President Biden continues his first foreign trip, edging closer to the meeting with Russian Vladimir Putin. Cannot wait to see what he comes out of that meeting with. After he's already told Putin, we're going to go ahead and allow you to have your gas pipeline from Russia into Germany, but we're killing the Keystone XL pipeline and thousands of jobs that went with it. VP Harris, that NBC Lester Holt interview, kind of flipping about going to the border. It's not good. It wasn't good then. And even the White House staff is admitting they're not happy with her. Even CNN and Don Lemon Fruitcake said she blew it. But don't rush into judgment. There's an excuse. Oh, yeah, with the left, there's always an excuse. Although I don't know how Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg can explain what he did. What he did was absolutely weird. I've got that and a lot more coming up over the next 2 hours. Let your family and friends know we are on the air. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief, and the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. I want you to know something special. John Beal Roofing constantly gives back to the community in so many ways, supporting more charities and good causes than any other local roofing company. Why? It's the right thing to do. Keep that in mind when you need a new roof, plus quality work at the lowest price, guaranteed. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I said, brother, if you only knew, you'd wish that you were in my shoes. You just keep on using me until you use me up. Until you use me up.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Valverde County, Texas, shares a 110-mile border with Mexico. I visited there this weekend to witness the Biden border crisis firsthand. It felt like coming onto the scene of a home robbery, a robbery where everyone knows the robbers are coming back. People's sense of security, privacy, and well-being have been robbed from them by partisan ideologues almost 2,000 miles away who decided to open their borders to mass illegal immigration. Del Rio, Texas has a population of less than 50,000 people. So far this year, over 100,000 illegal aliens have crossed the border and into their hometown.
My husband said he has called the Border Patrol, been calling for the past 2 hours. No one's come yet. It's going to be a long, hot summer and a dangerous one if this keeps up.
That is a report from the Heritage Foundation. Mike Howell, a Heritage member, had gone down to the border. And that was part of his report. I'm going to let you hear more of it in a few moments. And then you heard a woman explaining how dangerous it's gotten along the border for American citizens. Now, of course, yesterday we spent a lot of time on that and then spent time with Jonathan Daniel Davidson, political editor for The Federalist, because he had gone to the same area, the Valverde County, because as he said in his article, everybody, in fact, his exact title is, the whole world is crossing the Rio Grande along that remote stretch. And some of them aren't making it across because they drown. In some cases, they're saved. Sometimes they're not. So the same area where John Daniel Davidson had made his report, you've got Mike Howell of the Heritage Foundation looking at it from their viewpoint. And if you recall, the Del Rio chief border agent had said that this year, just in the Del Rio area, Agents have saved something like 1,300 from drowning, but close to 50 have died from either exposure or drowning. And they don't know how many they don't know drown, and they've never found the body, or not so far. And with the heat along the areas of the border, if they're brought across by these cartels and then abandoned without any water and provisions, they don't know where they are or where to go, they get disoriented, they pass out, and in time we find often along some of that ranch territory, along the border, we find what's left of the skeletons after coyotes and other critters get to them, sometimes remnants of clothing, but seldom do we know who they were. And they continue to come because the Biden-Harris administration opened the door for them. When VP Harris made her trip this week to Guatemala, flying right over our U.S. border, going 1,500 miles south, right into Guatemala to talk to the Guatemalan president, talk about we're going to send billions of dollars, $4 billion down to the Northern Triangle so people here will stay here. First of all, if you are going to be able to bribe them like that, isn't that kind of like paying a ransom for something? Once you pay a ransom, they're going to come back and, well, we want more. We want to do it again. And then if we're doing that, if we're saying and we're insisting that it's our fault that they are so poor down there, what about all the rest of the nations around the world? We know, by the way, many coming across the border, and they've been identified as they're not from the Northern Triangle. They're not even out of South America. Some are from Haiti. Some are coming from the Middle East, Yemen, Syria, because our border is open and it gives them an opportunity to come across to sometimes, no doubt, and we're going to find out at some point, I have no doubt that jihadists have used this as an opportunity to come across the border. They know they can't get on a plane and fly into the U.S. from anywhere in Europe and certainly or the Mideast without being triggered and being denied the flight or being caught as they arrive. But they mix in with the caravans and they come across, and their whole intent is not to seek asylum, obviously, and it's not to better their lives, it's to come in and destroy America from inside out. And, of course, we had the progressives helping them, because they would turn our country upside down. They want to abandon everything we value in this nation, starting with that C word that absolutely frightens Democrats of today, the progressives, the C word. Constitution. And yet they will use that, claiming that, well, we're defending the Constitution. It's the Republicans that aren't doing so. No, once again, it's a lie. They've got now the state-controlled media that will carry the story forward for them. When we have the crisis we do at the border, and yet we still have this administration wanting, not even wanting to call it a crisis. When we look at how the numbers of those who coming across continues to accelerate, and it all started when Biden and Harris and the other Democrats were campaigning and they were asked on stage, do you think it should be illegal to come across our border? Every one of them raised their hand saying, no, it shouldn't be. We're in favor of open borders. But now they're trying to say, well, we're not really, but then again, we are. I mean, it's back to the answer the other day when Kamala Harris, the VP, stood there and said, do not come. Do not come. I believe you will be turned back. I believe. Don't you want to follow the Constitution and our federal law, which says it is wrong? What do you mean, I believe you will be turned back? The answer should be, you will be denied and turned back. This administration is failing this on so many levels, and it's not an issue of even folks having a better life by coming here. It's not just that, it's the security of the nation. That is part of Mike Howe's duties at the Heritage Foundation, watching over national security. Let's go back to part of his report he filed.
In the last couple weeks, we have had illegals on our property starting fires. We had a bailout. The helicopter on our property, DPS, I think it was 3 or 4 units, came in the morning. We had to run back to our house. I had to get my pistol, like I used to have to do on the ranch, but now here in this community that we moved to get away from it.
As Del Rio burns, the cartels and smugglers are getting rich. They're making over $25 million a week in the sector alone. President Trump was building 30-foot-tall border wall in Del Rio. Biden stopped it. Now there are holes in the ground where walls should be, unfinished wall without technology installed, and holes in the Rent-A-Fent placeholder where illegals are sneaking through continuously. Border Patrol officers told us this is the worst it has ever been. They also told us they warned the White House this would happen. The men and women who protect our southern border are so overwhelmed, they're dropping illegal aliens off at the bus stop by the hundreds. The illegal aliens then go all around the country. Every town is a border town now. The crisis is national. When on a connecting flight in Dallas, I met a man who was coming from his hometown of Dodge City, Kansas. He told me that he had just witnessed a group of 70 illegal aliens dropped off in his city. Wherever you are in America, this crisis is coming to your front door.
Make no mistake about it. And again, those are the words of Mike Howell with the Heritage Foundation and a special report he put together for the Heritage Foundation on the crisis at the border. And, of course, we have sanctuary cities and states spread across the nation. Blue cities, blue states, blue counties that say, come on in. But I still do not see any of the elite progressive Democrats, AOC and the rest of them, Pelosi, Schumer, Bernie Sanders, nor do I see the Hollywood elite who are all progressive Democrats and don't like this country despite all the money they make off of Americans. I don't see any of them lowering the gates over their moats so they can bring in and house many of these illegals. The day they say, I'm opening up my house, I can take maybe 4 to 6 families because I have a garage that would be nicer than what they've been staying in. The day they start doing that, then I'll believe they really, truly care and have concern for the humanity of illegals coming across the border. Could be when we get close to the election, next midterm election, maybe that's when they'll offer it. Or the next presidential election. But more than likely, they're never going to offer it. They're just going to condemn anyone that says, protect our border, our national security. And I told you yesterday, Alejandro Mayorkas, the head of our Department of Homeland Security, has said, my first priority is protecting the dignity of illegals. Your job, your mission, your first priority is protecting America, the citizens of this country. And, of course, what happened the other day with VP Harris when she's down there and she's talking about the problems are, they're so difficult throughout the Northern Triangle, the climate, it's hot. It's always been hot in there. In many of those areas, they have drug gangs. They have constant crime. It is a hellhole, and they know it. They want out. And if there were any way for those in the S-hole countries, as Trump described them, elsewhere in the world, and that's what they are because those people also want out, if they had any way to be at our border, they would do so as well. And, in fact, we do have them coming from Europe and Africa and the Middle East and Asian countries. We have them all coming. But, of course, VP Harris was asked that question. And, again, I'm going to have to give props to NBC anchor Lester Holt for asking the question and pressing it. And she was absolutely a deer caught in the headlights.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
At some point, you know,
We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making. I'm not discounting the importance of the border.
That answer sent shockwaves through the White House and the administration. The way she handled that answer. You doubt me? Well, even CNN, Don Lemon Fruitcake, and others are condemning Harris for, how could you not be prepared for that question? Did you not think you're going to get that question? She might not have. She's talking to NBC that they're going to treat her nice with kid gloves. Maybe the toughest question she would be asked is, are you getting a chance to wear the best suits you like, or are you having to wear only things you don't like? I mean, who knows what else they could ask? It would be such a softball. Maybe they could even ask her, do you like Biden? Do you like ice cream? We're going to spend more time on that in the second hour, because when CNN flat out says she blew it, it's worth a closer look. But they do have an excuse. Progressives always have an excuse. I'll bet you can figure out what it is, but we'll get to it in more detail the next hour. Next segment, let's look at how President Biden is doing.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So President Biden is on his first foreign trip, and today he and Prime Minister Johnson of UK signed what they call a revitalized Atlantic Charter, reaffirming their commitment to work together to counter the efforts of those who seek to undermine democratic alliances and institutions. Would that include the progressives in this country? I think it would, but that wasn't the purpose, of course. The last Atlantic Charter was signed something like 80 years ago, and they say this new charter will make clear that the U.S. and the U.K. have common values and aspirations. Well, actually, Biden does not agree with Johnson and pulling out of the European Union, and he's more in favor than going back. So there's no real love and everything there. But so far, he seems to be very presidential, and the First Lady said today that he is, quote, overprepared for all these meetings. She was wearing, because I know so many of you are very concerned as to what she's wearing, because they always were mocking what First Lady was doing and wearing when President Trump was in office. So here's the First Lady, Jill Biden. She had a jacket with the word love printed on the back, and she told reporters, "We are bringing love from America, trying to bring unity across the globe, I should say." Well, of course, Biden has this meeting coming up with Putin. And he has said already, he's trying to make it sound like it's going to be really tough. He said, I'm going to tell him what we want them to do. We're going to be very tough. Yeah, I'll bet. This is after they've already given Russia permission to go ahead and continue with that Nord Stream pipeline connecting Russia to Germany, making Germany and other European nations more dependent on Russia than us, while at the same time, of course, killing the Keystone XL pipeline in our nation that meant 1,000 jobs immediately, plus 10 to 11,000 more that would be associated with it. But that's all right. That's all right. John Kerry told us, your jobs will be gone in another 10 years anyway, so we're doing it for you now. We'll get you a new job. Have they gotten a new job? Have they gotten anything that paid them what they did? And Biden is carrying that same message that shut down the Keystone pipeline across Europe. And in fact, he was addressing a group of U.S. troops yesterday. And he said, I'm going to raise touchy issues with Vladimir Putin. I'm going to go to the G7, and then I'm going to meet with Mr. Putin, let him know what I want him to know. In other words, I'm going to be talking forceful, saying we're not seeking conflict. We want a stable, predictable relationship. And then Biden also said, in talking to this group of troops, he said, in visiting this U.S. Air Force base in England, he said, you know, I was in the tank in the Pentagon. When I was first elected VP with President Obama. The military shut us down to let us know what the greatest threats to America were. The greatest threats to America. And he said, this is not a joke. You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Hold your breath. Hang on. You just don't know what's coming. He said, two words, global warming. The Joint Chiefs of Staff told Obama and Biden at the time global warming was the biggest threat to this nation. Assuming and allowing that Biden's telling you the facts, he's claiming the military leaders say climate change is so high on the list that we got to deal with that, because otherwise there'll be significant population movements, fights over land, millions leaving places because they're sinking below the sea, and fights over good land. That's not a threat to the U.S., first of all. But secondly, I would like to know if they actually said it, and then I would want to know, how the hell are you serving as a general in one of our militaries, and you think the greatest threat you're facing, or we are facing in America, is climate change? Who got inside your head? It's right. In many cases, those at the highest level, they're looking for future political aspirations. They want to be on the inside, so why not tell them what they want to hear? They know that. Chain of command type thing. Speaking of generals, Lieutenant General Flynn, retired, says, don't feel sorry for me. Coming up.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rodler Pest Solutions immediately. Rodler, family owned and operated for 3 generations. If you've never used Rodler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rodler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rodler, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rodler Pest Solutions.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I tell people, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for our country. Feel sorry for our president. Feel sorry for the presidency of the United States of America, because what they did was they just didn't just attack, you know, me, Mike Flynn. They attacked the entire system of a free and fair government that we had, because Donald Trump happened to win and take out the power base of Washington, D.C., and the corruption.
Those are the words of former Lieutenant General, now retired Army Lieutenant General, Michael Flynn. Of course, he had at one time been the President Trump's national security advisor. And then he got ensnared by the FBI, and I use that term, and I use it on purpose because it was a trap from the beginning. Even the FBI agents later said, there's really nothing here to pursue. There's no reason. I mean, you can't charge him with something that we weren't investigating and that he never did. But they came back and decided, someone DOJ said, and probably in the FBI they got some support as well, that, hey, he didn't tell you exactly the truth, and he changed his answer a little bit, so he actually lied and committed perjury. And for that, we can convict him. And they did. Well, Trump ended up giving him a pardon. It's been 6 months since that pardon, by the way. The retired U.S. Army Lieutenant General, at the time all that was underway, I mean, it was costing him money, obviously a great strain upon his family and himself. But as you heard him say, don't feel sorry for me. Feel sorry for our country. Feel sorry for our president. Because they didn't just attack me. They attacked an entire system of a free and fair government. That's part of an interview he was giving with a Mobile, Alabama radio station. He's in Alabama, going to be addressing the Jefferson County Republican Party in Birmingham. He said, I do have a lot of people come up and say, man, I'm so sorry this happened to you. This was just wrong. He said, but again, just don't bother feeling sorry for me. That's my issue, as bad as it was. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I think you need to look at the bigger picture. I like his approach. But here's why he also said, when you feel sorry for anyone, you can feel sorry for Trump, but more even than that, you should feel sorry for how some decided to hijack and abuse our laws for their purpose to basically go after another target. Because Flynn says it became very clear, and it's been documented, it's been absolutely documented, that some of the stuff that they were doing wasn't really to get Flynn. Now, I know you've seen the movies that when they go after a drug dealer, they can round up all the little dealers, but they're always looking at how do we get higher up the chain? And if we can get someone big enough to make them turn, then we can get to the really big guy because we'll give this guy that could face a lot of time, we'll give them something, a lenient sentence, or just kind of give them under witness protection if they'll give us some evidence to get to the very, very top. And there was no doubt they thought that Flynn had something they could use against Trump. There's no doubt that they were sure of that. But, of course, they also liked the optics of it. When you have a lieutenant general from the Army that has been selected by the president to be his national security advisor, and within a short period of time he's being charged with perjury before the FBI, that's a great picture for the mainstream media at that time to rush out and repeat and echo over and over again. The news cycle never stopped. And I mentioned the news cycle because in the next hour, we're going to talk about how the news cycle is dealing with VP Harris and her lack of ability to answer a simple question about going to the border. And you've got the left saying, well, you know, okay, we got it. You don't need to pound it. You don't need to continue to keep it in the news all the time. These are the same folks, of course. These are the same folks who took anything they could against Trump, and they redid it and redid it. And every time they put it up, they put up a logo with it, breaking news, like it's something new. It was never new. It's the same rehash, just reheated, served again. You didn't eat all of it this time. You're going to get it again tomorrow. Oh, you did eat it? Well, we're going to give you even more tomorrow. And that's what they did repeatedly with it came to Flynn, because they could use that against Trump and tie it all into the Russian collusion story. And the whole, I mean, they had everything going for them. But Michael Flynn says, we now know, and it's been documented, they were using me as their passage to Donald Trump.
Now, specifically on the Department of Justice, which includes our illustrious FBI, the lead agent in my case, the lead agent in what was now called Crossfire Hurricane, we learned it's Crossfire Hurricane, His name is Barnett. You read his testimony in October of 2020, October of 2020, so only a few months ago, where he said the entire thing was to get Flynn to get Trump. I mean, how egregious is that? So that's specifically, that's documented, that's in testimony, that's under oath, that's the lead agent for the FBI that handled the entire case. And he waited until October 2020 to say that. So shame on him, and he'll have to face his own judgment someday in front of the pearly gates or the gates of hell.
Yeah, that is true. You broke the law, but more than important than that, you are going to face a judgment higher than that. And as he said, the lead agent who handled the entire case for the FBI finally admitted in October 2020, under documented testimony, under oath, said the entire thing was to get Flynn to get Trump. We had no doubt that's what was going on, did we? But, of course, if you said it then, well, you're just a conspiracy theorist. You're making it up. And do you see the mainstream or now the state-controlled media picking up on that and echoing it and putting that into the news cycle over and over? Well, of course not. They're not going to do that. They blew it. They want to walk away from it, act like it never existed. But Flynn also said, it's a culture that's developed. It is the swamp when you get down to it. He said, when you look at the Department of Justice, he said, you find that there are incentives for employees of the Department of Justice to make their mark. Now, he didn't say it this way, but let me put it this way. It's like a dog. You bring a dog into the house, or you put it in the yard for the first time, it's going to go in every corner and take a little kind of spray. That's my territory, marking its territory. And that's pretty much what some of these DOJ employees have been doing, making their mark, saying this is my territory, because they are looking at the incentives that come, that they get promotions. And again, Michael Flynn says it is the culture.
They're incentivized by conviction and not by discovering the truth. So they get promoted based on how many you know, bodies they're able to bury, or how many scalps they're able to get. You know, I hate to use those phrases, but that's the truth. That's the reality. They're incentivized by convictions and not discovering the truth. And that's a culture that has been rampant since probably the 90s and leading into the last two decades of this, early into this century. So that's not good. That's unhealthy for our country. It's unhealthy for a country that it bases everything on the rule of law.
Everything on the rule of law. But they're ignoring the rule of law because they have an agenda. They have their own personal agenda. And by personal, what can I do for me? The law be damned. What can I do for me? How can I use it to further my career? And he said, I should apologize for using that phrase, going after scalps. No, you shouldn't. That's exactly what they're doing. They wanted Donald Trump's scalp, for sure. And the member inside the DOJ that could bring that case together that would take him down, they were going to be richly rewarded. In fact, it would be to the point they'd be getting so many rewards, they wouldn't even want to stay with the DOJ. They'd go out and do private enterprise. They could make a ton of money going to one of the leftist networks and becoming their analyst. But Flynn says in the midst of it, like you said, going on since the 90s, there's your swamp. There's the building of the swamp right there. He said what they have been doing in all of this, they're ignoring our very basic foundation.
We should be guided by a moral set of laws, which we generally are, which is our Bill of Rights, which are based on the Ten Commandments. So, I mean, all you can do is study our Constitution, study our Bill of Rights, study the Bible, study the Ten Commandments, and you see that the principles found in the Ten Commandments and the Bill of Rights are fulfilled in our Constitution and they come out of the fulfillment of the Bible and the promises that we make to each other. And the Department of Justice and those that work inside the Department of Justice, particularly in Washington, D.C., they've lost their way. They have lost their way.
They have lost their way. And they're losing our country if they continue. And here comes Senator Bernie Sanders saying the problem, the issue is the right. The right has gotten too radical.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Republican Party has moved over the years to away from being what we call a center-right party to rather a right-wing extremist party. There are some exceptions. There are some moderate Republicans, but they are few and far between. And I think given that reality, what we have got to do, the American people voted for a Democratic president, Democratic House, Democratic Senate. Our job now is to do what the American people want.
That is Senator Bernie Sanders. He said everybody voted, and the American people, as he said it, voted for a Democrat president, a Democrat Congress. We should give the people what they want. Did we hear them say that when Trump won election? No, I don't recall hearing that. Did you? No, I don't think so. But on top of that, Sanders is saying the Republican Party has moved over the years away from what we call center to being a right-wing extremist party. Is that not rich? Is that not rich? One of the most progressive senators in office saying that the Republicans, the conservatives, are too far extreme. Really? You know, U.S. Congressman, by the way, there was no mandate. When he talks about the people electing, there was no mandate. That's why the election was as close as it was. There was no mandate. When you look at the popular vote and the rest, I mean, there was no mandate. And we're going to see coming up in the next election, the midterms. I was sitting with someone last night and, sitting there just playing cards, and people talk about a lot of things. And politics happens to be one of the things they bring up from time to time, reference this program. And one of them said, I'm really frightened about our country. If we don't get control in this midterm election, we've lost everything. And I said, well, I agree that we're in a very precarious time and that we need. And I said, I personally have started a separate prayer every morning and every evening for this nation, to protect this nation, what we stand for. And I'm not trying to make it a political statement. I'm just saying what this nation is founded on, that we've been a beacon for so many other countries, we should try to preserve that. But if we're going to allow open borders and allow people to come in unchecked, unvetted, if we're going to allow folks in office that are American citizens to pass laws and so forth that basically will push hate through our schools under the title of critical race theory, if we're going to continue to allow legislation that basically controls speech, that they will simply allow a corporation that is meant for the general public to shut down the President of the United States from voicing his opinion, we are this close. To the next step of censorship. So while Bernie Sanders is saying, look, we gotta be careful about these Republicans, these conservatives, they're so extreme. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is also sending out a warning. And she's concerned about the midterms coming up. In a series of Twitter messages, she said, we need to get busy. We need to make things happen now. You know what she's basing it on? This is very interesting. She's basing it on, we might have some Democrats die. Yeah. In a series of Twitter messages, she said, an untimely death among Democrats could cost us our slim advantage in the Senate, even sooner than the 2022 midterm election. So she's saying we need to get some things happening now, because some of those senators, well, look at them. Right now, the Senate, the oldest average age, it's at the highest it's ever been, 64.3 years. And two of those Democrats, Senator Dianne Feinstein of California, will turn 88 later this month. Senator Patrick Leahy, Democrat Vermont, 81. And Bernie, he's going to turn 80 later this year. And AOC, she's young, obviously. And she's looking at all these old dawdling people around, these old Democrats, and we need to do something now. In other words, she's trying to say, you need to get out of the way. We need to get some fresh blood in there now. You need to maybe step aside in your state, and so your Democrat governor and leadership can appoint someone to fill the rest of your term, and then they'll be on a fast track to win when they actually come up for election. And, of course, you can point to the fact that Ruth Bader Ginsburg did not follow Obama's lead when he was trying to gently lead her out of the Supreme Court, said, I'm not going until I'm ready. And maybe she was thinking Hillary's going to win, so she thought, I'll wait, and then Hillary can replace me with someone. But Hillary did not win. And then she passed away on Donald Trump's watch. So you got Bernie claiming that Republicans are so radical. And you got AOC saying some of you Democrats, including you, Bernie, you need to get out of our way. I love it. Coming up in the next hour, a closer look at critical race theory and how it relates to China and communism.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.